Awesome. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm very excited to be here and have this opportunity to share the word with you. But before we get into that, we got another thing we want to touch on, first of all. So we've got another video we want to show you that is a recap of last year's legacy. So you guys check this video out real quick. Now we had to bring Haley up because, listen, this thing wouldn't happen. It would not happen without Haley. Haley's heart, her hands, for sure. We have got to give honor where honor is due, and Haley so greatly deserves honor for this. And so we're going to talk a little bit. She was super excited about getting up here and sharing. She wanted to preach the whole message, but I told her no. But I did ask her to come up just to share a little bit about the Legacy Golf Tournament. So,
good morning. On behalf of my team and I, we're really excited to invite y'all out to our golf and gala. This is going to be our third year. It's going to be on Monday, December 1st, and we're going to do a 10:30 shotgun start for golf at Apple Rock. Followed by that, we're going to do something new this year, and it's going to be our cocktail hour out on the lawn, and we have some amazing vendors that are going to be there from 5 to 6. After that, we'll open up the doors and we'll have our live auction and raffle. You don't want to miss, we have so many good things happening. Something else that we have is we've partnered with RAD and they are going to help with childcare. If you look at that price, especially if you have more than one kid, this is a huge discount, so you want to take advantage of that. Dinner's also included. Something exciting is last year we raised over $200,000, so we're really expectant for what's to come this year. And if you want to tap the disc in front of you, you can go ahead and register there. We're still looking for sponsors, golf teams, and attendees for the gala. So sign up now, and I'll be at the table outside after this.
What is that
$200,000? Thank you, Pastor Weston. So this year, we're partnering with World Embrace, and they are our mission partners in Africa. And so they're going to actually be in attendance and speaking on their behalf at the gala, so you really don't want to miss. We're really excited about what we're going to do in advancing God's kingdom.
Amen. Yeah, it's awesome. So thank you so much, Haley. Awesome. Hey, please do. In our pre-service this morning, Pastor Dustin asked who hadn't signed up yet. He said, if you haven't signed up, raise your hand. I did not raise my hand. And like you, I haven't signed up. And I know that's wrong. I'm sorry. I know. It'll happen today. It will happen today. I was feeling guilty. I felt like I was lying right before I got up to preach. But this is a big deal. I mean, we use this, what goes on at this gala like he was talking about earlier, we had to fix our septic and we brought in this new portable building. Did you guys see that new portable building? You'd be excited about that portable building if you saw what these kids were standing in the week before. Like, I walk in to get my grandson and they can't even sit down. You just got to kind of pick him up by his hair and pull him out because he can't reach in and grab him. It's crazy. What's crazy is, like, y'all just keep showing up and, like, you got room for one more and just sticking them in. We just cram them in there. And then you show up and it's like a winter storm outside and you sit on the porch. Way to go, porch people. Thank you, guys. But like, this thing matters. We're doing this and it matters. So as we do this stuff, and we take up these cars, we do this stuff, it's not just another thing to give to. This is an important part of who we are. And we need this thing. And so we need Haley to come in and to do the things that she does. And so listen, please be a part of this. The gala is something you don't want to miss anyway. Last year was the first one I got to go to. It is incredible just to get to go and be a part of that. So plug in and be a part of this. It is a really big deal, and we're excited about it. And also, what happens with these things is, like this is truly, this money that we put into this church, it's making a difference in Africa. It's making a difference in Costa Rica. We believe that God has called us to have an impact all over the world. We believe that. One of the things that's exciting about that, and the reason that I'm here and I'm getting to preach today, is because Pastor Jared today is in Brazil. He's with Pastor Jess, and they are traveling and preaching. Here's Pastor Jared with his cowboy boots on, showing them what it's supposed to look like in Brazil with his interpreter. I mean, listen, he gets so concerned whenever he's gone because he has a pastor's heart. We're going to talk about what that looks like here in a minute. He's very concerned whenever he's gone about this. Like, he's been texting me this morning, like, do not mess this up. You make sure. You know, he wants things to be good. And whenever we come in and we're a part of this and we give and we're into this, we get to share with this impact. And the scripture says, listen, the scripture says that we can't even give a drink of water to someone without being rewarded for it when we get to heaven. Everything we put into this, everything we do is part of what that's about. And so God does see, he sees every part of it. And so when we go through a time like this, and we have things like these cards. We picked up these cards last week. Some people weren't here, didn't have a chance to turn their card in. If you do have yours, you still have a chance. Please turn it in today. And listen, whenever we do something like this and we go through a series like we've just come out of, there's two ways to look at that. You can either look at that and go, I'm so excited about being a part of a body of Christ that's really alive and things are happening. Or you can be like, I'm so tired of hearing people preach about money, and I'm sick of hearing about, and listen, I want to tell you the truth. And the reason I get to tell you the truth is because I'm not up here enough. And so if you're mad at me, you have plenty of time to get over it. But the reason that some people feel that way is just because they have no gratitude in their heart for what's going on here. It's a position of gratitude in our heart. And so we want to move into the series to talk about what is gratitude. When are we supposed to even have gratitude? And so I mean, I am excited about this. Next week's going to be awesome. Pastor Jared's going to be able to talk about what has been pledged, the new pledges, and he's going to have renderings of the building that we're building, of what we're going to start building right now, that's going to be on our property. So he will have those to show us next week. It'll be super excited, and I'm excited about that. I just want to say that as we get into this message, I am going to talk today about gratitude, and I want us to really examine ourselves, examine our hearts, and just give a chance to be real. But in order to get into that, I want to start today off with just giving you a short little story about this old man and the apple tree. There was a young man who was always frustrated, constantly frustrated. He always had something new that he was wanting. He would get that new thing. The newness would last about 2 days, and he was on to the next thing. His life had a lot of new things in it, but his life was just defined and full of frustration. It was never enough for him. He got what he wanted, and he quickly moved on to something else. And so joy came and went just like the wind. I know that, thankfully, that's a hard story for us that live in this part of the world to understand. We've never met anybody like that, and we don't know what that looks like. But that's what was going on in this young man's life. And one afternoon, he went to his grandfather's house, who was an old farmer. He drove out into the country where his grandpa lived, and he found his grandpa sitting in the backyard underneath this old apple tree that was close to the house. And he started looking at the tree, and the tree was weathered, and it was twisted, and it was aged. It hardly looked like it was alive at all. But the crazy thing about this tree was it was full of these big red apples that were hanging from every branch. And the young man said, I've seen this tree so many times. And he said, Grandpa, how is it that this old tree that's cracked and it looks like it's about to die, how is it that it still produces this kind of fruit? And the grandpa said, son, patted the tree trunk, and he said, son, this tree has been through storms. This tree has been through droughts. It's been through lightning. It's been through harsh winters. Its bark is scarred and its branches have been broken. But every time life has tried to take from this tree dug its roots deeper. And the deeper the root, the sweeter the fruit. The young man looking at his grandpa, and the grandpa said, "Son, I want you to understand that that's us in life. And those deep root systems, that's what gratitude looks like for us. When we go through hard times, you can either complain or you can dig the root system deeper." The young man left that day with a great perspective, and I was reading that story and I thought, man, I needed that. I needed that story this week, because I'm going to start out. I'm going to tell you, the last service I left after we got done, I thought, man, it felt a little heavy, and it just does feel heavy. Talking about gratitude and talking about how we condition our hearts. I'm coming into this week. I'm coming into this message, and I got to be honest with you, it's been a pretty rough few weeks. I don't know if you guys can remember or not, but there's a young man that would sit with me, sit right here with me week in and week out. He's been coming here for several months, and had never had any experience at church at all. Never had any church experience. Never had a Bible. So then I got to buy him a Bible. And he comes sit with me every week. And a week and a half ago, Wednesday night, he took his life. And man, we have struggled. And it's just been tough. Hard to get your head around it. But let me tell you this. I got to tell him about Jesus. I got to show him how to pray and accept the Lord. And listen to me, be clear on this. One day, I'm going to see him again. And I celebrate that. And the kind of kid, yeah, absolutely, thank you, yeah. Let me tell you the kind of kid that he was. This was a gift that he got me that I think if anybody else would have ever given me this, I'd have been real nervous about it. Because I'd have said, that may be one of the most sacrilegious things I've ever seen in my life. But this candle that has George Strait's picture on it, where it's supposed to be Jesus, he had no idea. He brought me this because at the store there's country music playing, and every time I'm the George Strait junkie. I love him. And so every time a George Strait song's on, whatever kid's working, I go, "Hey, who sings this?" And they all know George Strait. That's all, they know what to say. So they all say George Strait. So he knew to always say George Strait, and he gave me this, and he handed it to me, and I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. I was like, God, I'm kind of scared of this, to be honest with you. And he was like, I thought you'd love it, man. It's George Strait. And so that's what happens. It's really bad if you know, but it's really innocent if you don't know. And so that was a beautiful picture. And so I decided to keep my George Strait Jesus candle. A week and a half ago, last week we closed. We sold our business. We've been so excited about it in Marble Falls. And, you know, it's a good thing. But to be honest with you, we didn't sell it because we were cashing in. You know, it's been a hard few weeks. Things have not been easy. And we have an opportunity to show up and say, well, we're going to complain, or we're going to position our hearts into a place of gratitude. Yeah. And that's what we're doing. And so I'm going to tell you, I'm about to preach this message, but I'm preaching it to me as much as anybody in the room. Because that's what our choices are. Our choice is, I'm either going to be grateful or I'm going to complain. I'm going to gripe. And if we come into a place and we go through some of the stuff that we go through, listen, I'm going to tell you, we go through things like this, and it's either, man, they ask for money a lot, or we've come into this place and God's really changing our life in here. God's really changing our marriages in here. We got real things that are happening in this place. He's really changing our kid. I'm not just dropping my grandson off in a room full of, you know, kids for no reason. Like, they're really making impact already in his life. And so it becomes something that we want to be excited about. It becomes something that we want to be a part of. And this is like, this is something that is the most real thing we get to be involved in. Your job? I mean, it's good that it pays the bills, but it doesn't have an everlasting impact. This does. We get to come in and we get to press in and we get to learn what it means to be grateful, and we get to preach and we get to talk about gratitude. And so that's the heart of why Pastor Jared wanted to move into a series, a three-week series on gratitude, but don't freak out. He'll be back next week. You only stuck with me 1 week, and then he will come clean it up and bring it home like he does. Gratitude. It comes from the Latin word gratus. That word means thankful or pleasing. In the Bible, watch this. In the Bible, the Greek word is used is the word eucharisto. That means to give thanks or to show oneself grateful. Eucharisto. This is where we get our word Eucharist. This is where communion comes from. This is what this means. To give thanks or to show oneself grateful. This is about communion. Us communing with God. There's something that is, there's responsibility in each of these places. God has a responsibility that he's completely fulfilled. We have a responsibility. And I'm telling you, if you're one of those people that you would say, man, I don't know what it is to hear God. I don't know what it means to feel God. I don't understand how to move in all of those things. Listen, I want you to understand. Here's why you don't understand it. It's communion. For us to be able to commune with God, it has to come from a heart of gratefulness. We have to learn what it means. We have to understand that without God, without what he's done for us, we're really in trouble. We really have no way to step into the eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords without this, without what he's done. And so we start beginning to understand. And whenever we open this and we take this cracker out, we realize that this is the body of Christ that was broken for me. And we open this juice and we take it in and we drink it and we realize this is the symbol of the blood of Christ that was spilled for me to give me the opportunity to know him. And when we begin to do that from a state of gratitude, from a heart of gratefulness, that's when we begin to learn how to hear God and how to experience God. And so it's not a slam, it's not a knock, but if you don't know how to hear God and you don't know how to experience God, you've got to get some gratitude in your heart. And whenever you begin to be grateful for what he's done for you, it will move you into the place that you can learn what he's saying. It's communing. It's communing with God. It's us communing with him. So the theme verse of this series is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I'm going to tell you, this verse hit me hard this last week and a half. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we come together today, we come to this place from a lot of different places in life. A lot of people showed up here today and things have been good. They've been celebrating. A lot of us have come to this place from some broken places, from some difficulty. But the choice is still ours. And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, bring a spirit of revelation into this room today. Teach us what gratitude looks like. Shift our hearts so that we can move into that place to have real communion with you today. Come speak to us in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of my message today is 'Tis the Season. 'Tis the Season. You know, we have a message on gratitude. Of course we do a message on gratitude. We're moving into Thanksgiving. We know that Thanksgiving is the time that we're supposed to position our hearts to be grateful. It's easy for us to think about what it means to be grateful during the season of Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving is over. And for those of you weird people, you start decorating for Christmas like before October, before Halloween. I get it. I know. But then we move into Christmas and the season, and like everything about the season teaches us to be grateful, to be thankful, and how good things are. And so we move into these seasons where it's a little bit easier for us to understand gratitude. But listen to what I'm saying to you today, church. Every day for us, 'tis the season for gratitude. The day that we can move our hearts away from a place of gratitude, that's what the devil's looking for. Don't you know that the scripture says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? What is he looking for? He's looking for a heart that's lost its gratitude. And he goes, oh, there's an open door for me. That's what I'm looking for right there. There's no gratitude in this. There's no gratitude in what they're doing. And that becomes the open door for the enemy to come in and to develop a stronghold in our life. And his plan is to completely destroy us. The only way we contend against that, the only way we can fight against that is to, just like Pastor Dustin was saying, to see our Father standing behind us, to realize that we serve a real Savior that really went to the cross, that really paid the price for us, and we position our hearts in a place of gratitude and that stronghold becomes broken. That's how we fight against these things. So, as we look at this idea of having gratitude in every season, we want to look at Paul. When Paul wrote this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, he wrote this somewhere between 50 and 51 AD. This was during his second missionary journey. And listen to this. Paul's life during this period was marked by opposition. Paul was in a continual state of struggle. He had true hardship. It wasn't just like people were saying mean things and hurting his feelings. He was dealing with real opposition. He was in a real state of emotional strain. He was literally chased out of cities for preaching the gospel. He faced verbal and physical persecution, often living in danger. He carried a deep pastoral burden for the young believers in Thessalonica. He worried that they might give up their faith in persecution. Why? Because Paul knew that they didn't have a very deep root system. He was worried about that. You ever seen anybody like that? Let me tell you what a person that doesn't have a very deep root system looks like. Even if they know enough about God, they go into church and they're easily offended. You see preachers all the time that are so worried about, well, I don't want to say the wrong thing or I don't want to do the wrong thing. Why? Well, because they know that there's people in the room that have a very shallow root system. And they know if they pick the wrong color carpet or if they, you know, say the wrong thing in their message, they know that's probably the last time they're going to see that person. Right. There has to be something change in us. That changes. Those things shift whenever our heart changes. We begin to listen. We begin to encounter God from a place of gratitude. And Paul knew this. And so he was concerned about this church in Thessalonica. And that's why he sent this word, because he knew that he had been through real trouble. And that had conditioned his heart to gratitude. And he wanted to try to help them do the same. Paul understood that every season is a season for thankfulness. He recognized that this was his strongest tool to fight against what the enemy has. Now, I know that a lot of us have run into people like the young man in the story that I was talking about. Just move from, this is going to make me happy. 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 Listen, no business. No home, no car, no clothes, no thing that this world has to offer is ever going to satisfy that place. It will never, as long as your gratitude is attached to those things, you'll never have a grasp on what it is to have a heart of gratitude. But whenever when he begins to fill you up with this understanding of what he's done for you, of who he is, then things begin to change. We begin to learn to hear what it is that God has to say. We begin to feel his moving, feel his guiding, and he begins to shift us, and it makes a huge difference. I want to show you what that difference looks like. I want us to leave this message today understanding that the deeper the root, the sweeter the fruit. I want us to evaluate gratitude in our hearts. And the first place I want to look, just one verse, is in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, This is where Jesus is. This tells us that he's feeding the 5,000. Now, understand in this story, Jesus is about to feed 5,000 men because in this time, they only numbered the men. So they didn't even, this wasn't even counting all of the women and the children that were there. So not only did Jesus feed 5,000 people, the real reality of the story is he probably fed somewhere between 12 and 15,000 people. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is Jesus that's doing this. And let me be clear with you about this. Jesus knew who he was, right? And look what it says in John chapter 6, verse 11. It says, Jesus took the loaves. And look what he did, church. He gave thanks. Listen, when you pray for that meal set before you, it's got to be, whenever, you know, it's like when we really advance, we know to pray for the meal. But we got to begin to pray for that meal for more than just to show people around us in the restaurant that we like to pray. It's got to come from a place of like, Father, thank you for this food you provide for me. Thank you for this food and this place of gratitude. And this is what Jesus is doing. He said, Lord, thank you. He took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with fish. This is Jesus, who was God, giving thanks because he was setting the stage for us. You see, Paul understood this, and so now we're going to pick up this passage in Acts 16. This is where I want to spend a little bit of time. Paul understood that if Jesus is trying to show me an example of what it is to have a heart of gratitude, I need to grab this, and look what it does to Paul. Acts chapter 16, it says this. Once we were going to the place of prayer and we were met by a female slave who had a spirit. Watch this, church. She had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Now, I want to stop for a second because I want to be super clear with you. When you sit down with people like that, and it's whether it's a palm reader or a whatever, or people that are, you know, giving, telling you your future, doing things like this, they can tell you some real things. Why? Because they're connected to the demonic realm. They're really, when you sit down with those kind of things, you are encountering the demonic realm. And I want to say it so clear because I want you to understand tarot cards, palm reading, horoscopes. That's not just some cute, funny thing you can pick up in the paper and read over you, over your kids. Look, even if that's been something you've been doing, maybe just not understanding it, just stop. Because you don't encounter little baby cute demons. They're not baby cute demons. And they've got a plan for your life and they've got a plan for your kids. And they want to destroy you. They want to cripple you. They want to hurt you. And that's their plan. And so there's no such thing as just a cute little palm reading or a tarot card or a horoscope or crystals. You can't have your crystals laying on the counter next to your Bible and think everything's going to be okay. And I want you to understand those things are demonic. Those things have demons attached to them. And we have to learn how to stay away from that stuff. So Paul, he and Silas, they encounter this woman. She has a demon. She's predicting people's future. She's telling these people about their future. And she's earning a lot of money for the people that owned her. Verse 17, she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, she's on Paul's last nerve. And it says, finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you, come out of her." And at once the Spirit left her. Paul was so frustrated at just her being so annoying, so he cast the demon out. Look at verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and they dragged him into the marketplace to face the authorities. Now, they cast this demon out, and so the owners grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace in front of everyone. Verse 20. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." That's not what they did. What they did, listen to me. What they did was they affected those guys' income. They weren't doing that to the city. So what does that mean for us? That means this. And I think this can affect us as believers for sure. And that's why I want to make sure and make this point to you. Listen, when it comes to money, there's only two things that can happen with money. You will either have money or money will have you. And if money has you, it will so distort you for the rest of your life that you can tell a story like this, and not only you believe it, but you can convince everybody around you to believe it. Listen, it doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. There can be very little money in your bank account, and money still have you. There can be a whole lot of money in your bank account, and you have your money. It's not about the money or the amount of money. It's about the condition of your heart. So they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they're throwing our whole city into an uproar by advocating customs that are unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowds joined in attacking Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, and he fastened their feet to the stocks. Church, you've got to understand this story. Paul and Silas cast out a demon. And because of that, then they were dragged into the marketplace in front of everyone, where the whole town gathers. They're in front of everyone. Listen, they're dragged into the marketplace and publicly humiliated in front of everyone. And the truth is, we cry when we get a mean email. Somebody hurt our feelings. You know why we do that? Because the roots of gratitude aren't very deep. When the roots are deep, the fruit is sweet. They drag these men in. Not only drag them in front of everyone, they publicly humiliate them. And then, church, did you see that? The magistrates ordered them to be stripped in front of everyone. And then to be beaten with rods. The Bible says that they were severely flogged. This was not only a humiliation, this was a severe beating that they received. In public, naked. After they had been severely flogged for nothing, then they were thrown into prison. And they were put in the inner cell, the deepest, darkest dungeon that there was in this place. And that's what this was. This wasn't a prison like we know prisons. This was a dungeon that these men were put in. And their feet were fastened to the stock with stocks. I was reading this story, preparing for this message, and I think on some level, probably I could convince a lot of us that pretty rightly so, I was reading this message from a place of great difficulty. My last few weeks have been pretty hard. And I was reading this message and I started thinking, man, do I continue to complain or do I look at what these guys went through? Because you know what? Nobody's ever dragged me in front of the public. Nobody's ever stripped me in front of the public. I've never once received a beating for serving Christ. Not one time. We do go through hard times. But it's the condition of our hearts as we go through those things. Those are the things we got to evaluate. We're so focused on evaluating our hard times. And we don't focus on the condition of our hearts during those hard times. That's what changes everything. Look what happens to these guys. They're dragged in, they're beaten, they're severely flogged. And then verse 25 says this, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening." Midnight, on the day that they were humiliated, on the day that they were severely beaten, what was their response? To pray and to sing songs. Church, I want to say this to you, because please, I hope you hear me. You cannot be condemned into gratitude. This isn't about condemning us into gratitude. But this is about showing us a picture of what a real heart of gratitude looks like and how it changes everything. These men prayed and were singing hymns to God. Look at verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Paul and Silas were singing, were praying and singing hymns to God. Church, please catch this. They were singing, they were praying, and whenever they did that, it caused the earth to shake. If we went through something like that, we would probably be talking to God too, but the truth is, it probably wouldn't be songs and hymns. Because if we're honest, we're pretty good. We've gotten pretty good at shaking our fist at God. And I wonder, something's always going to shake. I wonder if we would learn what it means to stop shaking our fist if we wouldn't feel the earth shake. Because the earth shook in such a violent way that the chains fell off of these people that were in prison. The chains fell off. And I wonder if sometimes church doesn't work the way it's supposed to work because instead of it being a place where we come in with hearts that are so full of gratitude that we shake the heavens and chains fall off of people, I wonder if that doesn't happen because we've been so busy all week shaking our fist at God. And then we come in and sing some songs. Coming in and singing songs together is vastly different than coming in and worshiping from a place of gratitude together. I'm usually much more animated and like fun when I preach. But I feel like this message isn't about a fun, animated message. I feel like this message is deathly serious for us. And I feel like the kingdom wants us to understand that if we would learn to stop shaking our fist, maybe we would stand on the ground that's shaking. And maybe truly chains would begin to fall off of the people around us, including us. So after the earth shook and the jailer was about to take his own life, I love the little details in the scriptures. It says that the jailer was about to take his own life, but Paul's the one that yelled at him, don't do that. Remember where Paul was? Paul was in the inner cell. Paul was in the pitch black in the darkest place. How did he know? Lee, listen, when we get to a place where our hearts are truly grateful, we get to lose that thing of, I just don't know what God wants. See, gratitude moves us into the center of what God's doing. And when we're in the center of what God's doing, we begin to know things that ought to be known. Paul, I firmly believe, because Paul knew what was going on here from the inner place, he couldn't see what the jailer was doing. But I think he knew just in time to reach out. And man, to be honest with you, and again, it's not condemning, but just thinking about it. You go through what you go through over the last week and a half and you wonder, man, you can't reach back. You can't go back and evaluate. I coulda, woulda, shoulda. And that's what we want to do. But I do wonder, what a phone call. Well, maybe if somebody would have just yelled out, don't do that. What could have happened? Verse 29 says, the jailer called for the lights and he rushed in and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. This is the guy that just finished chaining them to the stocks. And now he's fallen on the ground trembling in front of them. He brought them out and he said, and look what he calls them, sirs. What must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all of the others in his house. At that hour, now look at this, at this hour, which we know was after the hour of midnight. Look what this jailer does. At that hour, in the night, the jailer took them and he washed their wounds, and immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and he set a meal before him. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. He was so filled with joy because he knew God, he and his whole household. I think life would look really different for us if we could move into those places. Like, it's real easy for me to look at a house or to look at a thing and go, man, God, that could make me happy. But the truth of the matter is, when's the last time that I ever just sat down in front of God and thought about my wife? And I thought about my kids, my beautiful family, my grandbabies. Are you kidding me? See that guy? That's my grandbaby. And every one of them know the Lord. What thing could I be given that could make me happy? What thing does this earth have to offer that could move my heart to a state of gratitude that I don't already have? This place of gratitude. That's what this jailer was experiencing. God, you just saved me and my whole family. This is what the jailer was experiencing. The jailer brought him into his house in the middle of the night and set a meal before him and was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God and his whole household. God, you guys, Paul and Silas were severely beaten, and they prayed and they sang hymns, and it wasn't because anybody condemned them into it. That was what was in their heart. Truly grateful. Because they sang the hymns and they prayed the prayers, the earth shook and it busted all of the inmates free, but no one left. That led to this jailer accepting Jesus and his whole family accepting Jesus. Listen, this whole story in Acts 16, it's a pretty cool story. I highly encourage you, go read it. It's pretty powerful. Paul was a stud. Like a freakish stud. And I think it's important for us to see that, because I think what we do in church is we read stories like that and we go, yeah, but Paul, I mean, it was Paul. He was anointed by God. Any different than you or I? It was a condition of his heart. God didn't do that. Listen to what I'm saying. God didn't do that. Paul did. He's no different than you or I. And we ought to stop giving ourselves excuses to stay in the broken places. And we ought to learn to give ourselves excuses to have a heart of gratitude no matter what we face. That's what would change life for us. A heart of gratitude. Church, it's always the season for gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I had to ask him that this week. God, Morgan's gone. We were taking him with us to Florida next month for my daughter's wedding. You know what God's answer to me was? Give thanks. Give thanks. We got to learn what it means, church. It's a big deal. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us as a body learn what it looks like to be a body of true gratitude. That we would truly be a people that love and are so thankful for what you've done. God, you blessed us. All we got to do is just look around the room. Most of us, not all, but most of us have got family sitting all around us. Most of us here know that if today is the last day of my life, if today is the last day that I get to breathe, I know that I'm going to go be immediately with you. God, what else do I need? to be thankful? What else do I need to make my heart a heart of gratitude? God, you've already done it all. Position us in that place. And if you are here and you don't know what it means to, or what it feels like to know that if today's your last day you're going to heaven, then this is how you change that. You accept the Lord as your Savior and you know. He said, I did this so that you might know that you have eternal life. And if you've never prayed to accept Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Father, I accept you in my heart. I want you to come in. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. And I want you to show me what it is to have a heart of gratitude. Teach me what it looks like to really follow your ways. We love you in this place. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.